There are books for teen readers and books for young children. Then there are those that span the years. Henry Climbs a Mountain by D.B. Johnson is one such book. It's written and illustrated in a manner that a preschooler can enjoy, but it has a message for children and adults as well. Our ambassador to the world of children's literature, Daniel Pinkwater, joins us from his home in upstate New York to talk about a new children's book. Daniel, nice to have you back with us.
Hi, Scott. Glad to be here.
And the book we're talking about is by D.B. Johnson, Henry Climbs a Mountain. We've talked about his books before.
We've presented, this is the only guy that we've done three books. This will be the third. We did Henry Hikes to Fitchburg, Henry Builds a Cabin, and this one, Henry Climbs a Mountain. I respect this author-illustrator's work so much, and this is the best of the three.
That's quite an endorsement.
I'll go further. I would say this is as good as a picture book can get.
Henry, we should explain, is certainly the name is inspired by Henry David Thoreau.
He's the bear incarnation of Thoreau.
And he's drawn in, I guess you'd almost have to refer to it almost like a cubist portrait way, but he manages still to look, you want to put your arms around it.
Let me talk about the art for a second, because it's smart art. I get so tired. I'm not saying that all the books I see assume that children are dumb, but half of them do. This book doesn't, and this is a smart artist. He's been inside a museum. So you're getting little resonances of art history, of American Cubism, Charles DeMuth, Marsden Hartley, landscape painting, and then styles of clothing and architecture in 19th century New England. All this is packed in, but it's not academic. And he uses an airbrush and Frisket and colored pencil technique. It's really masterful work.
Yeah. But why don't we read it then?
Let's read the book, and we can sort of comment as we go along, because it's a deep book. It's got lots of levels. What, you want to start?
Okay, please. Let me just... please. Henry Climbs a Mountain, D.B. Johnson. And as we begin, Henry the Bear has his left foot up in the air, and he's kind of pulling on the sock. Henry wanted to climb a mountain, but he had only one shoe.
His other shoe was at the shoemaker's being fixed. I'll get it on my way, he thought, and he's off through the landscape.
But on his way to the shoemaker's shop, Henry was stopped by Sam, the tax collector. Henry, he said, you haven't paid your taxes. Pay a state that lets farmers own slaves? Never, said Henry.
Here we are, in the town. Sam, the tax collector, is hauling him into the jail. You see already a poster saying, reward runaway slaves. You'll have to pay or go to jail, Sam said. Then take me to jail, Henry said. And Sam did.
And the story goes on. The door slammed shut. Henry lay down on the bed and looked up at the white walls and the white ceiling.
He put his bare foot against the wall. I wish I had my other shoe, Henry thought.
He took crayons from his pocket and drew a shoe on the white wall.
And he's outlining his foot, drawing the shoe. Next page. Beside the shoe, he drew a flower with a hummingbird on it.
Next, Henry drew the tree the hummingbird lived in.
Under the tree, Henry drew a path that crossed a river and climbed a mountain. Henry got his feet wet, and we see in this picture, he's now wearing the shoe that he drew, and he's sort of half into the picture. He's climbing up the wall, and his toes are in the stream he's drawn.
As he drew up the wall, he sang a song. The bear goes over the mountain, the bear goes over the mountain, the bear goes over the mountain to see what he can see.
Now he's standing on the wall, and he's drawing lots of foliage, and you see the picture is sort of enveloping him and the room. Henry climbed up waterfalls. He marched in and out of clouds, and now just a corner of the room, corner of the door frame, is visible in the picture. He's entered his own work of art.
Yeah, even though he's in jail.
Yes.
When it started to rain, Henry pulled his hat down and put on his coat.
He drew a hawk soaring in the clouds on the ceiling.
At the top of the mountain, Henry met a traveler coming up the other side.
He was singing this song. The other side of the mountain, the other side of the mountain, the other side of the mountain will set me free at last. Traveler's got a bundle on a stick over his shoulder. And on his leg, He's got a shackle.
Henry and the traveler sat together on the mountaintop. They talked and laughed and sang more songs.
You have no shoes, said Henry. Are you walking far? As far as the star in the north, the traveler said. That's a long way, said Henry. Take my shoes.
The traveler put on Henry's shoes. He stood and waved. Thank you, friend, he called.
Henry started back down the mountain. The path went down and up and down again over sharp rocks that hurt his feet.
He tripped over tree roots and logs in the path. Ouch! Said Henry.
Once he caught his foot in a rabbit hole.
Henry rolled down the last hill and splashed across a river.
He had not slept all night. The sun was coming up when he stumbled into the small room, and he's coming out of his painting back into the cell.
Just then the door opened. It was Sam.
Someone has paid your taxes, Henry, Sam said. How does it feel to be free?
Henry smiled. It feels like being on top of a very tall mountain, he said.
And you walked to the shoemaker's shop to buy a new pair of shoes.
Oh, my.
Doesn't this book sneak up on you?
Yeah, it really does.
There's so much detail. There's so many concepts. A professor could use this book as the main text for a whole semester of a college course.
Yeah.
And yet, at the same time, someone 7 years old could enjoy it and love it.
Mm. We should explain. I think certainly a lot of people are aware of this, that the story is clearly patterned on a real-life incident in the life of Henry David Thoreau.
Right.
When in fact he went to jail, refused to pay taxes because of the support that his tax dollars lent to the institution of slavery. With this action, he was one of the creators of a school of social protest we still call today civil disobedience, that the likes of Mahatma Gandhi and Martin Luther King later became associated with.
So here in 32 pages, we get a clear, kid-sized introduction to aspects of American history, Henry's statement of principle, which is blended with this exposition of how art can be liberating, and that develops into this simple but not shallow discussion of the meaning of freedom. What a good, rich, nourishing book. I want to say that we should salute the editor who chose to publish this book. Mm-hmm. Not every publisher would have.
Then perhaps we should mention that. It's Houghton Mifflin and Company.
I've read this book about 20 times since it came in here, and I've enjoyed it and found stuff every time, and yet I maintain a little kid can get considerable pleasure, and reading this with a child gives you so many places where a discussion can be developed.
Well, Daniel, thanks very much for bringing this to us.
This was a real pleasure.
The book is called Henry Climbs a Mountain by D.B. Johnson, published by Houghton Mifflin. Daniel Pinkwater is the author of many fine books for children and adults, latest of which is The Picture of Morty and Ray. He joined us from his home in upstate New York.
I'll never forget the day I read a book. It was contagious, 70 pages. There were pictures here and there, so it wasn't hard to bear the day I read a book.
And for more information about Henry Climbs a Mountain and about previous books that Daniel Pinkwater has discussed on Weekend Edition, you can come to our website, npr.org.
Because nobody there got shot the day I read a book. I can't remember when, but one of these days I'm gonna do it again. And literature.